I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Welcome to Dr. Supercoach Racing. I'm Watto and I'm joined with my co-host Justin, and we'll be talking about Supercoach Racing tonight, how the last week went for both of us and for other coaches, and what's going on in the third week of the Supercoach Racing season.
Yeah, thanks for having me again, Watto. It's obviously an exciting week in both Victoria and Sydney racing. We have the $15 million Everest in Sydney at Randwick, and of course we have the $5 million Caulfield Cup under handicap conditions at Caulfield. So both exciting races, and yeah, keen to get stuck into it and see what little differences we have in picks.
Yeah, exactly. I think the first 2 weeks there's a lot of generic picks. This round will be the first round of many that will kind of, there's a lot more choice in the field, especially with the higher priced horses. You might have to make a few decisions you don't really want to make, but you're going to have to with that cap price.
Yeah, it's especially coming into this week, there's around the Group 3s and the Group 2s, there's plenty of options that you can choose. And I guess stretching, when you get to the back end of your stable, you're going to find that you're with very limited money. And there are a few little selections around the 50 to 75 grand, which you might need just to top up your stable and I guess use them as your emergency for the week.
Yeah, exactly. And with the emergency, you might be tempted to just pop a 50k risky pick in there, given that they won't drop price at all. But we found first round and the second round that a horse is disappointed, usually a very comfortable horse, and that eighth emergency horse has really helped bump up our scores.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can't exactly remember what mine was last week, but I definitely improved last week compared to the first, and a lot of that was to do with, I guess, my cheaper horses. I mean, I'm Thunderstruck, a lot of people had in their stable, but when I was having a look through the stats, it wasn't exactly a horse that every single person picked like Zaki. So that in itself was a little edge going into the Toorak, and I think there might be a couple of others this week, although one of mine is a little more on the expensive side, but we'll touch on that later.
Yeah, awesome. So how did you do last week?
Well, definitely an improvement. I think I'm in the... I was going very poorly after a very bad first week. My form skills weren't up to scratch the first week, but I improved them a little bit for last week, and got back on track to sort of not quite where I want to be, but definitely improving, and hopefully a good Caulfield Cup day, and we might see ourselves somewhere in the top 5%, which would be handy.
That's awesome to hear, and it's probably worth noting, there is a prize for first spot in the weekly ranking. So you get $500, and that's doubled if you're a Herald Sun subscriber. So even if you have a bad week, like Justin did in the first round, I did. I had a bit of a mediocre week as well in the first round. You can still play and have a chance at cracking that number one spot for the week.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, it's something that obviously you can be fresh to the game and come join now and still have that opportunity to win that $500 weekly cash prize. Of course, you will start off with your $1.8 million start-off budget, but I guess it's still an opportunity for you to have a bit of fun and, you know, join it at any time and try and win that cash prize.
Yeah, exactly. And with the scoring how it is, you're not necessarily guaranteeing guaranteeing points. If you're picking those most the more expensive horses, you can kind of go on the cheaper side, get a bit more riskier, and you can, it's obviously a bit harder, but you can probably do well in some weeks.
Yeah, and especially this week, there are a few horses that are quite expensive which people are going to have to choose, but down the bottom there are a couple of selections around that 125, 100 grand mark that could come vital to ensuring that you do get some guaranteed points, or that's the way I'm seeing it anyway.
Yeah, agreed. Just touching on last week for me quickly, I scored 277 points. I ranked 209th, but that said, a lot of people had this exact same composition as me. Last week was there's a few horses that you kind of needed to pick. I ranked in 2,000 for the season around the mark. I came in a bit after a poor first round. I'd also like to shout out the weekly winner for our Dr. Supercoach League. If you haven't joined, you can still. League code is 258611. We just have over 300 participants in that league, and it's a great league to, if you want to try to top the standings for the week. There's about 20 people on 277, which was the top score, but I'll give a shout out to Dan's Donkeys. He's currently the top ranked player in our league with 548 points in total. He's actually ranked fourth, so he's going pretty well. He's had a good start to season.
Yeah, I mean, that's a flying start, and if he can get the Caulfield Cup winner and the Everest winner this weekend, he's might be hard to catch come Melbourne Cup time, because that's the week that's going to be tricky for everyone to nail down winners. And if you've got a good little head start now, you might be hard to run down.
Yeah, exactly. And he can kind of probably play a bit safer with our selections. So, Justin, your week, how are you thinking you're attacking the stable management this week?
Well, for me, I'm kicking off with a budget of $2,050,000. I'm looking at the Caulfield Cup as one race that I really want to target. And the obvious pick in the race is Incentivize at $250,000. He is the favourite for the race. He has drawn a little bit sticky out in 20. He'll come into 18, but he's got the natural early toe to cross and lead this field. He handles wet conditions. As it's probably important to note as well, both Randwick and Caulfield were expecting wet tracks. Caulfield especially, if this expected rain comes, we could be talking soft 7, heavy 8, even heavy 9 range. Soft 7 at best, that is. If that rain doesn't come, we might be around the soft 5, soft 6 range, which brings a lot more runners into it. But for me personally, I'll be looking at the real wet trackers of the race. And for me, Incentivize not only handles the wet track, but he's just all class. He won the Maccabi Diva Stakes in great fashion. He backed that up with a massive Turnbull Stakes win, where he did what very few horses can do, and that is give a kick after running very hard early sectionals and find that second wind. Only very good horses can do that, and to me that showed sign. I won't say it yet, but champion qualities. And if he is to win this race and possibly a Melbourne Cup, then I'd say he's up there with one of Australia's current champions. But I'll be definitely taking Incentivise, as will most people in Supercoach, I would imagine. But my little point of difference, I'm hoping, is Young Werther. He's drawn absolutely perfect in Barrier 8, and he did give Incentivise that scare last start in the Turnbull. He loomed up and just couldn't get past him. If Incentivise does go hard early here and spends a lot of fuel early, then I think that might, if it does leave him vulnerable, he might be just too good for him. But if it does leave him that little bit vulnerable, I think a horse like Young Werther is set to win the race and storm over the top. He's a little bit like his stablemate Vow and Declare. He finished second in the race in 2019 behind Murder Glass before going on to win the Melbourne Cup. Obviously, Young Werther now needs to step up and make himself accountable in Australian racing. But I'm expecting him to go very well, and I think could be a little side selection to try and claim that 32 points for second spot.
Yeah, sounds good. I'm on Incentivize as well. Jumped up in price this week to 250 after that round one win. But still super cheap. Bookie's favourite despite the barrier draw, which will probably work in his favour. He's just looking the goods, like you said. Like, really promising. And I just can't wait to watch him race again. very exciting. I'm on, instead of Youngworth, I had a look, but just really, I didn't really like the odds of him. As I've mentioned previously, I'm a bit more into the expected points / gone with the odds approach. So I'm picking Delphi. He's at 350k, so a bit more expensive than Youngworth, but he's the second favourite in this race. A bit of long odds, but had a big run last week, and he's looking pretty nice.
Yeah, I mean, he won the Herbert Power very nicely last week, and the thing important to note in that race, that was a good three, and he seemed to excel on that firm deck. I think if we get to this heavy range, I've just got my little question marks over him on that wet track. He is by Galileo, so he could be one that just gets through the ground and really relishes it, but having not really been exposed to this wet ground before does have me that little bit concerned over him, especially on the week back up after such a, I guess, strong run last week. It might just take a little bit of gas out of him. But if the track does get to that soft 5, soft 6 range, I think he has to be included into your top 3 or top 4 selections. That win was probably too impressive to leave out, but I just think he's a little bit overpriced for me to be taking in Supercoach with a few little question marks over his head if the track gets wet.
Yeah, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. And especially, it's probably a caveat to a lot of horses running, especially in Caulfield, but also in Randwick, that the weather will play a part. And especially if we get the expected rain that's supposedly coming, especially in Caulfield, your selections might change. And Delphi's one that you'd probably look at moving if, for example, I'm selecting him like so.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of them races where everyone's going to have incentivized, but it's whether you are looking at taking a second or third horse in the race for a bit of security. That's when you're going to come up with a little bit of point of difference, being such an open market. Like you said, Delphi's a second favourite, but he's not a clear standout second favourite. You've also got the chosen one up there. You've got, you and I were talking before the podcast, and we even mentioned Master of Wine. He excels on wet ground, and he was actually the second or third favourite in this race last year. And if he produces any type of form like he did 12 months ago, I mean, he could very well go on and just win this race with 52.5 on his back. So it's a really intriguing affair if you're looking outside of incentivise.
Yeah, and it's a very large field, so anything can really happen.
Yeah, it's in Caulfield Cups, you find that it's all based on a lot of luck. Generally, I find that the best horses do find the luck and they find a way to win. So incentivise for me is definitely the security blanket of the day, the one that everyone needs to have in their stable and probably is their captain. But I just think that maybe searching for a little bit of value in this mightn't be the worst thing to do, because I'm finding this Caulfield Cup a little bit easier to decipher through form rather than looking at the Everest, which we'll talk about next, which I feel is a lot more even race, being sprinters and not knowing exactly what the Randwick track's going to do.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. We'll move on to the Everest now. Who are you favouring, as he talked about?
For me, I'm going with Nature Strip. Many people out there know that he's a hard horse to catch on his day, but he is an out-and-out champion sprinter from what he's done over the past couple of seasons. Ignore the defeat last start. That was at the hands of Eduardo. That was on about a soft 6 or soft 7 track from memory, but I'm happy to ignore that run. Same thing happened last preparation before he came out and absolutely romped in the TJ Smith Stakes, claiming his second in a row. Up to 1,200 metres, I feel he does have the edge over Eduardo. Especially over that final 100 metres, Nature Strip can just seem to, I guess, run out that stronger last half furlong than what Eduardo can. So I'm confident Nature Strip is the one to beat. Obvious query in the race is Classique Legend. He was the winner of this race last year, and he had one subsequent start in Hong Kong where he was a hot favourite in that race and really disappointed, but clearly pulled up with some issues and came back to Australia. But he's had a long time off, but that win in the Everest last year, if he replicates anything to that, they probably don't beat him. But having that long off the scene, I guess, it poses a few little questions, and considering he's $500,000 to actually put in your team, I would prefer to leave him out, just with that obvious risk factor that is he going to be fit enough to sustain what we expect is going to be a really genuine tempo with Nature Strip in front, going along with Home Affairs and, of course, Eduardo, who will go along with him. It might be just a survival of the fittest at the end.
Yeah, exactly. I'm on Nature Strip as well. Just been running super well this campaign. And that is at max price at 500k. But so is Classic Legend. And you kind of really, at the end of the day, you're picking one or the other as your main horse at Randwick. And it's whether you want to go for Nature Strip or Classic Legend. Bit riskier play, given it hasn't raced in so long. But they both look great for distance. It's going to be a really exciting race.
Yeah, it's obviously Australia's richest race, and it obviously gathers plenty of attention. But a couple of horses we should probably mention in this race as well. I mean, Geetra has to be some sort of chance. Personally, I find his peak figures are over 1,000 metres, but up to 1,200. He ran third in this race last year, and he did end up winning over 1,300 in his subsequent start to that third placing in the Everest. So, I mean, 1,200 is not beyond him, but I just feel he's just that half length, a length off the elite level sprinters such as Nature Strip and Classique Legend over this trip. The other one as well, who I'm going to give a little bit of a plug to at that might be a real smoky in the race, and that's the Inferno. He comes to the race with Melbourne form. He won at Moonee Valley two starts ago. It was a real scintillating win, showed a beautiful turn of foot. He's an ex-Singapore horse, this bloke, and he then came out and ran second in the Group 1 Moya Stakes to Wild Ruler. He was probably balked at the top of the straight and didn't have the greatest opportunity to actually win. He might have peaked in his last 50 metres, but the race was probably over by then, while Wild Ruler found a cheap gap and managed to burst through and win. Of course, he meets that horse again, and I'd be confident the Inferno does beat him. Wide Gate, I wouldn't worry about that. He's going to drop back to last anyway and try and motor home over the top. Really enjoying what we expect, as I mentioned, a hot speed out in front, but I think the Inferno could be a little bit of a smoky that many players of Supercoach are going to look over. I was sort of tossing up. When I first did my stable at the start of the week, I actually had the Inferno and Nature Strip in my side, and actually didn't have Young Werther in there, but I ended up deciding to go with Young Werther. I just thought he was probably a bit of a safer play on a wet track rather than trying to sort through some international form with the Inferno and trying to match him up against Australia's proven and best sprinters.
Yeah, I love that pick. In the Inferno, he's at 275k as well, so he's a bit cheaper. Any love for Home Affairs, he's probably going to get a look in, being he's at 175k, a lot cheaper, and he's kind of in that third way back on the odds. Any love for Home Affairs?
For me personally, I am totally against him. I just think he got everything to suit last start. He got a leader bias track. He managed to get his own lead out in front. Of course, he gets the lightweight 53 kilos, but he's going to have to go with Nature Strip. He's going to have to go with Eduardo. And when push comes to shove, I'd be much more confident in Nature Strip breaking his heart than I guess Home Affairs kicking away and showing a beautiful turn of foot. He's just got to sustain a sprint this time and actually have a challenger out in front. On a map point of view, I feel that might just leave him a little bit vulnerable. And I mean, prior to this prep, he wasn't talked about as one of Australia's best sprinters, and even after that first up win in the Heritage, I still have my major doubts over him of whether he's actually this class. But I mean, if you're trying to fill up your stable and you've used a bit of cash early, 175 grand, I mean, that's pretty cheap for a horse in a Group 1 who's single figures with the bookies.
Yeah, exactly. And there is a bit of risk with that pick as well, because he could place in that bottom two. Given it's a Group 1, if you play second last, you lose 25k, and last is 50k. So there's a bit of risk attached to that as well, because he's not as strong as a horse as a few of the others we've mentioned.
I feel the one that is obviously the obvious pick for last anyway, and he was the last horse selected for this race, which was Embracer. Stay away from him. He's probably should be running in the Sydney Stakes. Couple others in the race who I feel might be just that little bit vulnerable, especially if the track gets wet, is Masked Crusader. Obviously, he's a huge talent, but if this track gets into a soft 7, heavy 8 range, there's a few warning signs here. He's electric on good ground and an absolute star of the turf, but when it comes to trying to battle through the mud, he'll be settling out last, and he'll have a lot of ground to make up, and he might get a bit of kickback in his face. There's just a few risk signs there. So Masked Crusader, for me, I'll be staying away from. And the other one I don't want to be touching is Lost and Running. He had a lot of hype around him for his first couple of preps, had a bit of a win streak going there as well, but came back this prep and he flopped first up, and he was only averaging the, I think it was the Premier Stakes last start, but I just don't think he's quite up to this level. But obviously, it's one of them races that it's a typical sprint race. Anything can happen, and Nature Strip and Eduardo and those horses might go too hard in front and really set it up for a Masked Crusader to come home. But as I mentioned, wet track again just throws a little question into the race over a few horses, and I feel Nature Strip is the safe play in the event, being that he handles wet tracks, he handles good tracks, he's the benchmark sprinter in Australia, and he's a two-time track and distance winner, both in the TJ Smith Stakes, so he's going to be up the front, he's going to be rolling along, and he'll look the winner with 200 to go. Just a matter of whether he can hold off those charging from the back, including probably Classique Legend and maybe Geetra.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to take a risk just for the point of taking a risk. We're only in round three, so you don't have to try to win it all this early on. We're all about just trying to get some good picks, trying to fill your roster with a balanced side, get some points and get some cash gen.
Yeah, spot on. We've still got another 5 weeks to go after this, including Melbourne Cup Week, and Melbourne Cup Week can often throw up a few roughies and a few outsiders. So I'm thinking that if you're going to take a few risks, Melbourne Cup Week is the one where you really want to be making your move and trying to catch a few people off guard who might be playing it safe and siding with the favourites.
Yeah, exactly. And Melbourne Cup Week, you do need a bit of cash in that bank. So focusing on cash gen, like we kind of harp on about, it usually leads down to that race, because there's just so many very expensive horses and you want to pick quite a few of them. You give yourself the best chance of succeeding in that way.
Yeah, I couldn't have said that any better. It's all about that grand final week, all about the Flemington Carnival, and if you can fit the best quality stable you can together, and I guess also trying to find one or two horses that might be that touch of value in some big races that other people are not clearly going to have in their stable.
Yeah, exactly. Moving on, we're not going to be really talking about Randwick too much. The Everest is pretty much the main race we like there. There's three other group threes, there's no group twos, but it's kind of, they're very contested fields. There's no clear favorites or clear choices, and there's a lot of risk involved, whereas in Caulfield you kind of know what you're picking.
Yeah, I mean, Randwick is very even card to say the least, and to me there's clear standouts on the day outside of, I guess, playing in the Everest purely because it's a Group 1, and if this wasn't a Group 1 race, I'd be staying totally out of it because it's a pretty even contest with four or five winning chances. But outside of that, I mean, you look at the Sydney Stakes and you've got four or five winning chances there. You look at the Craven Plate, Think It Over should win, but he comes at a massive price. So you're taking a horse who, I guess, should win a Group 3, get you 24 points, but you're paying a Group 1 price for it. So again, there's risk there. And the St. Ledger Stakes, I mean, only run at handicap level, so it's not worth mass points, but again, looks a very even field there, and comes with a bit of a price with some high-quality horses in the event.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's a bit too much risk. Either one of us really like to entertain, especially when you go into the listed and the handicap races. They're usually just not really worth it, to be honest, unless they're great value. Previously, last year, with the extended stable, you could kind of pick a few from there, especially with the cheaper horse prices. But we're kind of, with the reduced stable, we have three less picks, I believe. You kind of want to consolidate your stable into the Group 1, 2, and 3s and try to maximise your point.
Yeah, come Melbourne Cup Day, things might be a little bit different because there's not necessarily stakes racing all day outside of the Melbourne Cup. There might be a couple of Group 3s, but Cup Day, as I mentioned, it's even racing, surprise packets come up, and that's when you sort of dive into your handicaps and try and do a little bit of form there. But for the moment, while we've got some standout races in the Group 3s, Group 2s, Group 1s, I'd much prefer to be playing there and trying to maximise my points rather than trying to, I guess, play around with some of these other handicaps where races where anything can happen.
Yeah, completely agree. So we'll move on to the Group 2s now. Who you like, and we'll start with race 7. Just we'll go in order. So race 7 at Caulfield.
Yeah, the Tristark Stakes. So this race is for the mares. If the track gets wet, and I'm talking a soft 7 or worse, I want to be with Colette, and I don't want to be with anything else. She is an absolute star on a wet track, and arguably one of Australia's top two best horses on a wet track. So I'm talking up there at a very elegant level. She's that good. In fact, she has a win on a wet track, on a soft seven, I think it was, over Very Elegant. So she's an absolute star in the wet. So we don't... At $450,000, she is a little bit of a risk. So she is a horse that we're going to have to look at come Saturday morning to see if the rain has arrived and exactly what this radar's doing. Because if this rain's there, I don't want to be leaving her out because I think she's a bird in the race. There's a few other horses with question marks on wet tracks. She is a star in the wet. Don't get me wrong there. Her question is, she came up with an issue post the, I think it was the Maccabi Diva or Turnbull. I can't remember which race it was. She came up with an issue with an abscess in her foot. I think it was a Maccabi Diva Stakes. And she was going to run in the Turnbull, came up with an abscess in her foot. And that set her back because she was going to be running in the Caulfield Cup. So I guess that is a huge interruption of the preparation, considering realistically she should be running over an extra 5 furlongs today. But coming back to this, she's in a mare's grade, so she's very well handicapped in the race. She's got 58 kilos. Based on rating, she should be carrying around 60, 61 kilos compared to some of these other mares. I think she's a clear standout in the race based on quality. If this track gets to a soft 5 or soft 6, I will be looking at putting in Nimalee. She brings down the Sydney form lines and some very handy ones at that. And she's got a nice little short, sharp turn of foot and on some firmer ground, which she handles both good and soft ground. So I feel that I might be getting rid of Colette if the ground gets to that, I guess, that little bit firmer, soft 5, soft 6 range, and popping in Nimalee because she's the one who's got the turn of foot. She's hard fit. She's had no issues this prep, and it does feel like it's been a little bit of a goal, maybe en route towards the Empire Rose Stakes in a fortnight's time.
Yeah, precisely. I completely agree with Colette. Like, you kind of really want the wet track, especially at 450k. It's a very pricey horse for a Group 2. Especially with other options out there. But if it gets to, like you said, a 7 or higher, you just want to go for it. So much confidence in her. Also, probably to know is Sivi Leo Miss, if I said that right. Mm-hmm. She was scratched. She raced on Wednesday. She was second favourite to the bookies. So it kind of opens the race up for Nimalee, as you mentioned, and Chaliat, as two possible horses to place. They're a bit cheaper than Colette. Nimalee is $325. So you can kind of, if you really want to kind of price get, if you need some cash really, and you're going down, they'll free up some of your cash from Colette.
Absolutely. Good on you for pointing out Shay Lowe as well, because she is one I actually want to talk about who I didn't mention before. She could be a little bit of a trap in this race. I don't want to be with her. Purely, even though her win first up, it was spectacular to the eye, and it looked like she's just going to take these mares races by storm. Her rating in the race didn't come back overly well. So even though it was very strong to the eye, the actual rating of the race wasn't very high. It was sort of at that standard of race, and the form behind hasn't exactly shown up in super strong races. I mean, Just a Canter came out and run well, but this is a whole different class of race meeting Nimalee and Colette, and even Karma Lass, who up the top, she won very well last week beating Buffalo River, who I've got on top.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
In my own personal selections earlier in the card, she's even got a big hope in the race. So I just feel Shay Lowe, if you're looking at taking, I guess, not Colette and looking at either Nimalee, Shay Lowe, Karma Lass, Shay Lowe's the one I just wouldn't be picking. She may be that little bit of a trap coming into this second up.
Awesome. That's great to hear. Kind of avoided a trap for myself if I went to pick her. And that's what we kind of, Justin is great at that, analyzing form and kind of delving below the numbers, obviously, because we've just a lot of experience he brings.
And of course, everything I say is not going to be correct. Of course, there's plenty of times where I was wrong. I mean, I was pretty keen on Very Elegant to beat Incentivize in the Turnbull Stakes, yeah. And that was totally wrong. But I just feel coming into this race, Colette on a wet track and Nimalee on a bit firmer ground, they're probably the two options I'd prefer to be with over a horse who looked good to the eye but didn't rate spectacularly well first up.
Yeah, well, if you got everything right, you'd probably be a pretty rich guy right now.
I'd hope I'm on top of the coach.
Moving on, we'll move on to the Caulfield Sprint, race 10 at Caulfield.
Yeah, the final race of the day. It's a very even contest, actually. We've got Malkovich at the top of the markets, and he's ahead of Enthar, Curran, and, of course, Oxley Road, the full brother to Exceedance, who was a champion three-year-old. But for me, I want to be with Malkovich purely because he's the proven horse in the race. He handles a wet track. He ticked the Caulfield box last preparation. He came down in the winter, and he rated really highly in his first win, winning over this track and trip before going, stepping up in trip, running in the Sir John Myash Stakes at Group 3 level. He ran second, wasn't beaten too far, but it was a very game performance. He carries 57 kilos here, and in that first Caulfield win last prep, I should say, he carried 61 kilos, so it's a 4 kilo drop from that. As I mentioned, he rated really highly. I just feel that he's the horse I want to be with coming into this race, purely from what he's done on the track, rather than, I guess, playing a guessing game with any others in the market. Enthar, she's very fast. That's what I'll say about her. She is a very, very fast filly, and she proved that in the Blue Diamond. She was going out at scintillating speeds last preparation, but did just fall in a hole late there. 1,000 metres is going to be up her alley. The question's going to be whether she handles a wet track. Her first three starts were on good tracks, and is she going to handle the wet? I mean, she could be just too good for them. I mean, we nearly saw Dosh pinch the Scalacci Stakes last week. This could be another repeat, but at $200,000, and for me, big question marks whether she can handle the wet. I don't want to be with her. Curran is maybe the other one I want to be with. He's not exactly proven on a wet track, but he's very consistent. Interesting story with this horse, actually. It was a $600 purchase, so most horses sort of ran that an average of $50,000. Often you see colts worth $1.8 million, etc., etc. But it was a very cheap purchase, and he's returned over $330,000 for Connection. So it'd be exciting if he won the race for his ownership group and trainers, but he's my second selection in the race. He's in a great vein of form. He rarely misses the top two. He was very good first up at Mooney Valley, beating one of the Yulong horses. He was over 955 metres, so 1,000 metres up his alley. Just a matter of whether he can tick that wet track box. Oxley Road, again, has to be given a chance. He's ready to peak here third up. He's the fit horse of the race. And wouldn't shock me to see him run a big race with 53 kilos. But Malkovich off the back of a few nice trials leading into this preparation. Wet track tick, Caulfield tick. That secures him a spot in my side for the Caulfield Sprint.
Yeah, I agree with Malkovich. Just has run really well recently. He has. And as the bookie's favourite, he kind of 225k priced. Very, very nice pick, nice selection to kind of fill your stable with. I'm on the opposite boat of Enthar. I really like her. A lot of early speed. I'm kind of banking on it that she'll kind of hold on. I hope she doesn't burn out. And she's locked and loaded into my stable. Only 200k, so it really works quite well for a Group 2. So yeah, the wet does concern me. I'll probably give it a think if the rain does come, Caulfield. But for now, she's a lock in my stable.
Yeah, I initially had her in my first picks as well, thinking, not realizing we're going to get a lot of rain this week. But I mean, being untested, I mean, I'm sort of potting her here saying that she's not going to handle the track, but of course, being untested in the wet, she could just come out and blow them away. She could be an out-and-out wet tracker, and you could be spot on, right in the money there, and run away with Supercoach this week. It's one of them races where you've got a few untested types down the bottom of the weights, and Malkovich is sort of your benchmark that most people are sort of going to be looking at if they've got the 225k in reserve.
Yeah, exactly. And you kind of want to pick and choose your horses, your pods, point of difference picks. You don't want to get all risk in one week as well. You want to pick a lot of horses. You will see in the top 10 ownership, most horses are heavily backed, and then towards the end of the top 10 owned, there's quite a few different picks. Like we saw, a lot of people jumped on last week for Elephant, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And for those that didn't, it went well for them, and it was kind of a bit of a call of, do you go for a well-picked horse? It was about 35%, I think, owned. Or if you go against them, kind of trust your gut a bit, or just go left field.
Yeah, and we spoke about it last week, and I think we both decided to leave Elephant out, and in the end, that did pay off for us. But
yeah, it did.
Yeah, he's but he is an obvious talent, but he just didn't have the best of runs in the Turek, and they're the type of things that I'm sort of here to, I guess, help guide you through as well, looking at speed maps, and trying to see where horses are going to land in the run and what type of performances they're going to produce. Based on current form, based on where they're going to land, just taking in barriers into account, track conditions, those type of things. But Elephant, I just thought, more on a price point of view last week, I thought there were some better chances in Sydney, and happy to leave him out to take some shorties in Group 2s.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely what was what I thought as well. We'll leave the Caulfield Sprint, the Group 2s alone now, and jump into the Group 3s.
We'll kick off with the Ethereal Stakes here, race number 4. I know you and I both spoke about this race earlier in a little group chat that we had, and that was Kapalua Sunset. For me, she's the lock of the day. Everyone needs to have her in. She's only $125,000. She was massive last start when winning her maiden. She was very good first up as well. 2,000 metres is going to be right up her alley. She's the Oaks favourite for a reason. Just a matter of whether she gets around Caulfield, but if she gets around Caulfield, I just see her winning this. I think she's better than these horses, and 125 grand, I'm happy to pocket the 24 points.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And you'll get 25 points for a win if she does indeed win. I have her locked. I had her locked since Wednesday. Great pick. I think she's a step above in that field.
Absolutely, and the man of the moment, Brett Prebble, he rode Probabil in the in one of the big races last week, and proved too good there. He's just in tremendous form, Brett, and I know he has a very high opinion of this filly, as do the rest of the Danny O'Brien stable, but for me, I think she picks herself, and hopefully a few others out there can get her in the stable as well, because, as I said, she's pretty cheap, at one of the cheaper, I guess, locks of the week, and at 125 grand, I think she is a must for all stables.
Yeah, exactly. Especially if you're tossing up between picking 3, 4, maybe even 5 horses in those group ones, if you can afford it, you kind of want to, having a 125k horse that's a clear favourite in a group 3 kind of just lets you do what you want with that top half of the stable.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's helped me afford both Colette and Nature Strip, and then Young Werther at 325 grand as well. Having her in's really pushed that up, and another group two we'll talk about in a minute. That's another race that there's a few cheapies in there that have really helped me, I guess, pick those higher echelon horses in the group ones.
Are you talking about the Ned's Classic, I assume?
Yeah, the Ned's Classic. Yeah. So we've got, obviously, Gundeck, and the other one was Gunstock. Both of them do dominate the market. Micro is up there as well. He was very good in the Stud Stakes last start. Wide the trip. Made some good late ground, but for me, I want to be on Gundeck. If I was going to choose between him and Gunstock, Gundeck for me, purely because he's going to have a speed map advantage. He sits forward in his run. He led last start at Flemington, or sat outside the leader, and just kept kicking, and showed... It was a very slowly run race, but the race rated really highly, which to me shows that this horse has a really good turn of foot and might be able to adapt to both a fast and slow tempo race. But if he gets things run his own way out in front, he's got the turn of foot to hold off a late charger such as Gunstock, who gets back in the run, and Micro needs a bit of luck from Barrier 8, and if he gets trapped 3 wide again, I think that does leave the race for Gundeck to keep kicking, and he's not the favourite in this race, so at $75,000, he could be a little bit of value to try and pinch some Group 3 points, where I think plenty of people will be siding with Gunstock purely because he is the favourite of the race.
Yeah, agreed. I actually agree with you. I have Gundeck over Gunstock. Despite it being the bookie's favourite, I think it's just a riskier pick than Gundeck, and run so well at the distance, which is 2,000 meters, and had a pretty good barrier placing as well. So, and they're both at 75k, so you can kind of interchange them if you want, or even if you like, pick both of them if you wanted to.
In saying that, that's exactly what I've done. I've popped in both horses, just to, I guess, top off my stable. But if I was going to pick one, Gun Deck for me over Gunstock, but I've been fortunate enough to be able to grab both of them.
Yeah, awesome. And it kind of shows you can kind of top up with that a bit front heavier, higher end roster type of thing.
Yeah, spot on. And I guess trying to find some of these cheaper buyers, especially with the three-year-olds, you'll find come Oaks time and Derby time, these three-year-olds, they're going to be less than $200,000. And that's because they're not proven. They haven't won Group 1s before. They're just horses who are going through the grades and therefore very cheap in the Supercoach system. But come next season, you'll probably find that they're worth a little bit more money. But the three-year-olds, I think, looking at these three-year-old races, that's where you can find a little bit of value now and going forward.
Yeah, completely agree. And you kind of need that makeup, especially how with the stable composition right now, to be able to select your bit pricier Group 1, Group 2s, you kind of need to run with especially the three-year-olds to kind of fill up that roster.
Yeah, and come, I guess, the next couple of weeks, there are some very rich two-year-old races around as well, so you're going to find more two-year-olds worth $50,000 and $75,000. And of course, next week, I think we've got the Moonee Valley Vase. Forgot You will be in that race, and he's reasonably cheap, so he'll be a lock for most people. And yeah, just these three-year-olds and two-year-olds, they are the way to go if you're looking to top up your stable, rather than just trying to play in the handicaps and trying to find something that's a second or third favourite in the market and just topping it up just because it's $50,000. I think there are selections that you can pick that actually have a little bit of meaning to them. That can earn you a bit of point. That can earn you a few extra points rather than, I guess, reserve going back to a handicap purely because it's just another race on the card.
Yeah, exactly. And we had a bit of debate before the season started on how this emergency position would look. A lot of people thought you could maybe just put a 50k horse there, that just on a listed race. But it's worked out well that we would have these 75k to 50k horses that we can just put there, but we kind of trust them to perform when, say, something goes awry in one of the other races, Head of State didn't go well. I had Head of State last week and kind of saved my bacon a bit having that eighth spot.
Yeah, and he, of course, dropped in value last week. He was pretty disappointing, Head of State, but that is when that eighth selection can be crucial. And even though you might just think, I'll just chuck something worth 50 grand in there just because I've got no money left and I just need to top up the stable, actually try and have a think about it. And because they can become very valuable points, as what I just mentioned, it saved both of us last week. Both of us had Head of State, and that gained us some valuable points that we obviously would have missed out on had we just picked any random horse and it performs well below expectations.
Yeah, exactly. And the Group 3 scoring still pretty good. Like, first 24 points, second 18, third 14. So you're getting a bit there if you have a miss in one of the other horses. So any points matter, kind of thing. Yeah. And adding 10, 15, 20 points is great.
Yeah, and like these Group 3s, it's winning a Group 3, if you can find a lock in one of these, such as Kapalua Sunset, it's the equivalent of running third in a Group 1. So if, say, Nature Strip for us misses out and Classique Legend or Guitra or one of them horses bowls them over, then a horse like Kapalua Sunset winning this is essentially Nature Strip running third in the Everest.
Yeah, exactly. We'll move on to Race 6, probably the other relevant Group 3 race. The Ned's Mungo Stakes.
Mm-hmm.
Have you picked anyone on here, or you staying away? It's a bit pricier than the other Group 3s.
Yeah, and that's because we're talking about open age horses here. So as I mentioned, the three-year-olds are a lot cheaper because they're not proven. Whereas we're talking about Zootori here. He's a Group 1 winner. He's a Newmarket winner. We've got Buffalo River. He's a Group 1 runner-up. Be Good to Your Mother, Group 1 winner. So we are talking high-quality horses, and this race is a bit like the whole Sydney card where you've got quality horses running across the whole day and proven horses, which are going to come at a bit of cost to your Supercoach stable. But as if anyone is wanting to play in this race, I would be siding with Buffalo River. He's a very good wet tracker, and I'm not sure what price he is in the Supercoach because Pulo wanted to stay out of this race, but I feel that off a one-week backup onto a wet track, it's where his best figures are, and he could be the one to go on and win this race.
Yeah, completely agree. I have the price right here. He's at 300k, so he's pretty good, pretty pricier than a few of the other selections in the Nets Classic, the race 5 that we mentioned just earlier. So not really much value to go with him over, say, a Gunsock or even a Micro if you want two or even three in that race 5 if you kind of don't have the cash. Most people do. I know some people might not have the over 2 million, for example. Zaturi, 450k, which is very pricey, but really specializes in dry weather, and Caulfield's definitely probably not going to be dry, so you can kind of rule him out.
Yeah, I was in the same boat as you there. I had a little cross through him purely because of the weather, and some of these other horses just might be that little bit more favoured in the wet conditions, but overall, on a Supercoach point of view, happy to be not playing in this race.
Yeah, exactly. Any other races you looking at in terms of just, doesn't even have to be Supercoach, just to have a good friendly watch of the races?
I think we've covered most of the main races on the day. I mean, we've got the Gothic Stakes early on. That'll be a nice, intriguing affair. There's a horse I like in this race, actually, that is a very big price in the market, and that's Mr. Me. It's listed race, so it's only worth 18 points, so not exactly a recommendation for your Supercoach, but I feel he might be able to bowl along in front. He's bred to handle the wet. He might be hard to catch, and I think in race number 2, that's a really interesting race, actually, because they're all very unexposed horses and not necessarily all consistent winners, I'll say. But Lady Adelaide, I think, has a bright future ahead. She was very good winning at Sale last start. Really sat wide and came home really strongly, and considering she won last start and she's coming up against a couple of maidens and horses who, such as Vianello, who struggle to find the winning post first, she could be a horse that has a real bright future ahead if she is to win race 2 at Caulfield. But, of course, in Sydney as well, some nice races there, but yeah, I'm just pretty keen to watch the Everest there and have a real good look at some of these bigger races at Caulfield.
Yeah, awesome. Completely agree. It'll be a really good, be a really good weekend. Just recapping a bit on as we went through quite a few races. From the Caulfield Cup, you're probably really going to want to go for Incentivize. If you want to quickly pick out some, you probably want to select one or two from the Everest as well. As mentioned, Nature Strip, Classic Legend, even maybe the Inferno. That's
yeah, he's the that, one. He's yeah, the one at a bit of a price
that you like, Justin. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously represents that bit of value, and if you wanted to try and make up a little bit of ground and play it a bit riskier this week, he would be one that I'd have a good think about putting in your stable.
Yeah, definitely. And then I think Capula Sunset, that cheap Group 3. And then Malkovich as well from the Caulfield Sprint. Both, I reckon they're probably four or five locks that we both really like.
Yeah, 100%. And I guess the point of differences are going to come in, I guess in the Caulfield Sprint as well. At the last race, we both got Malkovich, but you're obviously siding with Enthar, and I'm against her. Colette, I don't think you have her in your stable right now, but come race day, I'm expecting maybe a few people to pop her in. That could be a little point of difference. Whether or not you're picking a second horse in the Caulfield Cup, obviously it's a very open race outside of that, but you could strike a little bit of value if you find the right one. And if you're looking at taking anything outside of Classic Legend and Nature Strip and the Everest, again, you've got another point of difference there that I guess could boost your points if you find the right horse.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Captain selection. Who are you thinking? Who do you have the captain on right now?
Stock standard for me this week, Incentivize. I'm totally in his corner now, and I think you win the Caulfield Cup, so hopefully we can jag the 80 points there. I was more confident with Zaki last week, but we all know how that little story went. So
every man and his dog had the captaincy on Zaki. So I kind of, even when I think he placed third, it's kind of like, oh well, like you'll take the points. Everyone pretty much was in the same boat. I don't know anyone who didn't captain him. So if you didn't, well played.
Yeah, I saw a few people who were sitting at the top of the rankings in Supercoach Captain Probabil, so that's a round of applause there. That was very well picked, but we'll see Zaki again next week in the Cox Plate. That'll be an exciting race to see how he goes. Obviously, the reason for his loss last week, I think, is being blamed a lot on the tempo of the race. It was very slowly run. He's a horse who needs a real rolling gallop. He got his head up. He got keen. Probably needed to get rolling at about the 600 metres and make it a true affair, but Holmesman came around and put an end to those chances, and Probabil got the run up on the inside, and Nonconformist, who runs in the Caulfield Cup, also ran a really bold race in that race as well, just getting nosed out by the champion mare, Probabil.
Yeah, it was a great race as well. I'll be on incentivized as well. I just can't go past it as a captaincy selection. And the other, you kind of want to stick your captaincy with your group ones, because captaincy doubles your points. So maximizing your point, if you're trying to snag a first in a group one, you'll get 40 points, and then essentially doubling it with the captaincy pick. So you kind of want to keep it within the group one where you have a great chance, and incentivize is looking like the best chance for that.
Yep, spot on. I think majority of people will probably have him as his captain this week. You don't necessarily need us to tell you that, but incentivize, he does look the main lock for most people's stables this week, is I think it's 30% of people already own him, so people are aware that he's heavily favoured in the Caulfield Cup, and he should go very close to winning it anyway.
Yeah, exactly. We'll move on to jockeys now. There's been one informed jockey who looks like he's going to perform great again. James McDonald. He's had two great weeks. He's really kind of separated himself from the other jockeys in terms of Supercoach. He's just really getting great wins and placings. I have him at 4 to 5. He's racing in 9 races this week. I have him 4 to 5 possible podiums, pretty good chances, and about 7+ points, which is about a floor. Any other picks you like, or?
I've found it very hard this week. I mean, the jockey books there, it's very even this week. I think we mentioned John McNeil. He's got a reasonable book of rides at Caulfield, but again, small fields could play into his favour. But again, he could very easily miss out on a few races there. I think the safe play is J Mac. He generally rides the horses who are top 3 or 4 in the market, and if he's not winning, he's generally running somewhere in the top 3 or 4, so he's always given a good chance and can score you an extra couple of points. But jockey decision, I found it nearly impossible this week, so my default was to our boy J-Mac.
Yeah, and he's performed really well. If you want to take a bit more of a mathematical approach, you can check out supercoachdata.com /SCRAC. He does some excellent work using tools to kind of mathematically make predictions about expected points. It isn't just jockeys, he does horses as well, and he has a ton of data. This guy is amazing. He has James McDonald at the top with an expected 7.66 points. McNeil, who we mentioned as well, he's in second with 6.61, and there's a ton of data. Williams is up there, as well as Damien Lane. So if you kind of want a different pick and you want to take a more mathematical approach, do it. He's got a ton of data you can go through. So supercoachdata.com/SCRAC. And yeah, check it out. It's a great tool to use, and it's very user-friendly.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the mathematical stuff sort of goes over my head a little bit, but yeah, I know that it's a very popular tool to use, and there's some handy resources on there if you are looking to take that mathematical approach, and I guess play it in a smart way.
Yeah, a lot of super coaches might not be familiar as racing as other people, and it helps them get an understanding of how horses are doing and how jockeys might perform, etc., without kind of being overwhelmed by the odds and form. For someone new to racing, horse racing, it can be a bit overwhelming. So if you're coming from the super coach side, from AFL, NRL, or any other fantasy sports, it's a bit easier to kind of handle and put in context.
Yeah, I mean, you've summed that up perfectly. I'm one of those people who can't quite, I guess, read all that information super well. I'll stick to my form, but generally that mathematical way of approaching it is a great way of, I guess, really maximizing your Supercoach points in all types of fantasy games.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a handy tool as well. He has a stable selection where you can pick your stable you think, and it can kind of give you how much points it's expected based on whatever magic he does, and just expected cache. And it's kind of a good tool to even just play around with if you're figuring out certain teams you want and you're really undecided. You can do that.
For sure. So make sure you just check it out, even if you just want to have a squeeze through it and see if it's something that you're interested in, I guess, having a good look at and maybe playing with those types of sides. But yeah, I think that's about it for us. Watto, is there anything extra you'd like to add to the podcast at all?
Nothing from me. We covered pretty much everything I wanted. If anyone has any questions or want to talk any racing at all throughout the week or even on the weekend, you can catch us on Twitter. My Twitter handle is Watto_4 and Justin's.
And mine is JustinDarcy7.
Awesome. And that's it for us. It's been a pleasure talking to you this week, Justin, and I'm glad I got your name right this time.
appreciate
it. Yeah, a few people had a laugh about that, so I'll take that on the chin. I'll keep going. We'll see you guys next week for more Supercoach Racing.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.